Lori Prox here with Dave Stearin of the State of Alaska, the Communications Director for Governor Dunleavy. And Governor Dunleavy called a press conference Sunday night, and it used to be a normal thing, and now it's become kind of trying to ratchet back to a few times a week, but it was called because there were 27 cases in the state of Alaska. And in his press conference, I know I kind of went through some of the details of those different cases, and 12 were in a long-term care facility. I think people might make the assumption, but if I listened correctly, I heard that long-term care facility was not open to visitors.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back, Lori. Yes, that's the case. There were no visitors, so the state epidemiology team is going back and tracing the contacts of staffers and employees at the facility. It's a division of Providence, and they've been very cooperative in doing a background investigation. Family members of residents have been notified, and now the tedium of contact tracing is in full swing.
And probably worth mentioning as well, because I'm always curious, you know, we are doing lots of numbers, but in terms of people, somebody had a cough and was tested, but there's not anyone gravely ill.
That's correct. We actually, our net hospitalizations went down over the weekend. We continue to have low net overall cases being worked. I know that in the cumulative, which is a bigger number, so it draws a lot more interest, that went up. But our overall net active cases is still manageable. We have plenty of hospital capacity, all this has really been about.
Yeah,
from
and I
the
think
beginning.
At this time, some of this information is great. It makes it so much more personal. But 10 are hospitalized currently, but there's 900 beds in the state of Alaska. So,
yeah.
Just to put some reference, and then I think 0.9% of the tests were positive. And then I think many people might assume that this spike was due to opening up Alaska. And I'll just be honest with you. I was trying to get a fishing report on the air, and I've got a whole nother radio job here going on to try to sell things and get things going. So I did not catch the entire press conference, about the first half. So I know that 11 of those were long-term care, but do you have more details on the rest of those?
The rest of the
cases,
positives?
Yeah.
A lot of people believe that opening up the state means that we have people coming to the state of Alaska, and that is frankly just not the case. These positives aren't folks in the commercial fishing industry or the oilies or anybody like that. We're still tracking where they've been and who they've talked to. There are 8 cases on the Kenai. The 12 with the long-term facility. We have a couple in Homer.
And testing is increasing. So,
yeah, I think overall this is expected. The governor has said consistently, as we test more, we're going to find more cases, because what we're going to find is people have this and they don't even know they have it. People are going to be testing positive because they knew somebody who tested positive. They don't have any symptoms, and that is the biggest challenge. I will tell you, as someone who suffers from seasonal allergies, I am the person in the office that you'd look at and go, he's got the vid. He's got the vid, you know, runny nose, watery eyes, but that is all part and parcel with my regular seasonal allergies. I don't have a fever, I don't have any of those other symptoms, and I got the steroid shot, and now all of my symptoms went away. So that is a struggle for individual Alaskans, for coworkers, as people go about going back to work. So we're well within our manageable capacity, and the state continues to investigate specifically the cases on the peninsula, Homer, Soldotna, Kenai, and Anchor Point, down in those areas.
Can we talk a little more about testing? I know because of people being tested out of state, there are varying degrees of testing happening and varying degrees of availability and also access. Some people have free testing and others have to pay for it. Others have to have symptoms. So just to be clear, here in the state of Alaska, there is not any free testing, to my understanding.
You know, honestly, of all of the parts of testing that I track, I really don't monitor. That would probably be a question better asked by Hess of the logistical infrastructure that they have in regards to testing availability and costs and things like that. I know that there's a federal assistance to offset the costs of some tests. I have not, frankly, spoken with anyone who's had the test. Like, well, did you pay for it, or did the government pay for it, or how did that work? It was more of, did you have the test? Yeah, and I thought they were going to poke my brain with that swab. So those are more of my anecdotal conversations, but I couldn't tell you, honestly, what the cost of the test is. I know that every day our capabilities expand, and capabilities also include turnaround time. So we're turning tests around faster, and we are we're much more proactive than we were months ago when all of this started.
And I guess I'm wondering, because I'm self-employed, so actually getting health insurance as a self-employed, there just aren't even companies that offer it, and it's not at the level of many folks. And so a lot of these frontline workers may not have the best of insurance. And so I did see posted here by the Unified Command that, you know, hey, you know, it's available through your insurance and everybody can get it. Well, it's a lot of people don't have great insurance or have huge high deductibles. Hello, me. So so it is. I'm just wondering if that is possibly an impediment. And then, you know, Alaska is quite a wealthy state. So I'm just wondering if there have been discussions at the state level providing a free test, because it would seem that, you know, I think a lot of the government and school system and Alaska, you know, the insurance is probably pretty good and would probably cover that. But I think a lot of the smaller businesses where the folks are working may not have that kind of coverage.
Yeah, and like I said, I just don't know specifically
in meetings you've been
folks.
In, there hasn't been, you know, hey, we need
to
provide
and
this.
And what you may want to do, what folks in Valdez may want to do, is check with the local hospital and healthcare providers. Say, hey, what are the resources for testing? And they say, oh, come on by. We've got a grant from the feds or from the state, and come on by and get a test. Won't cost you a thing. I just honestly, that may be the case. I just honestly couldn't tell you.
So that's something we'll look into. We have the doctor come in and talk with us. But I know from, it would appear to me that it's not a free situation here. And so I just thought I'd ask at the state level if there were any discussions to that effect. Can you explain what the theory behind and what's going on with interstate travel? And that has changed.
It's slated to change Friday morning. The governor announced last night at the press conference that we will continue to monitor the origin of yesterday's cases. We will continue to monitor where these folks came from, and our plan is to move towards test 72 hours or less before you get here, or test immediately upon arrival. We're working with vendors and support staff to have the infrastructure in place by Friday. We're also working with our airline partners to make sure that they have the forms and information, and they can notify individuals prior to departing for Alaska. So that is... It doesn't do any good to change a policy and not have the testing capability in place to deal with that policy. And Commissioner Crum and his department are working to make sure that infrastructure is in place if that is greenlit on Friday. And the governor said we will monitor this daily, and if we need to push back the day of that new policy shift, we will. And if we feel that, frankly, these cases have stemmed from people who've been here and it is the virus circulating within the community, then bringing people in from the outside isn't going to make that much of a difference. I should just point out, allowing people to travel here with the testing requirements that we have does not mean that Alaska Airlines or Delta Flight is going to be at 100% load factor. You can look at restaurant tours and other businesses across the state, and even with businesses now open up, many of them are at 30 to 50% capacity or less.
Well, and I would think if this is, you know, hey, here's what we're thinking about doing. I guess that is the message last night. You know, and based on the announcement from last week, I might think, hey, I could make a reservation and here are the real rules to follow. But if last night the governor said we're going to reevaluate Friday and see, then those planes won't be full at all because people are we've got to weigh whether or not they want to spend their money and their time and all of that to invest in a ticket that that, or if they can't get testing in 72 hours in their state, whether, you know, who wants to fly here and then fly home. So, practicality,
I
we
think,
really
I think,
haven't opened that up except for those who want to.
it is what I've said here in the office. It is the invisible hand. The invisible hand of the free market people will make their own decisions. They will decide whether or not they're going to travel. And that is what is going to occur for months, if not potentially a year, after this virus moves on.
Yes, but if I just heard correctly, if someone makes the decision to travel and has a reservation for Saturday, but Friday the rules change,
it becomes a closed market. Like I said, we didn't make this decision in a vacuum. Most certainly, we have been speaking with commercial airlines. And a simple question, how many bookings do you have for Alaska in the next 2 weeks of folks who aren't on these rosters as provided by critical infrastructure? I mean, it's really easy to cross-reference a passenger manifest. And I think what you're going to find is the glorious destination of Alaska isn't that right now.
So I'm confused because the idea of testing is to qualify who's tested or not, but it sounds like you guys are trying to look at and a consideration in your decision is the numbers of people on a plane. Is that?
No. I think what is occurring is there is this belief on Main Street that if we adjust our travel restrictions, then all of a sudden tens of thousands of tourists are going to come to Alaska. There is no indication of that at all based on the bookings and the information we've received. What we have reviewed with the state's medical team is what is the value of having someone tested before arriving and getting the test within 72 hours. If one of the biggest concerns, Lori, is people may have COVID and they don't know, if they are motivated to come to Alaska, then they will take the test because nobody wants to stand in line at the TED after being on an airplane for 3 hours waiting to get tested, and they may discover, holy crap, I'm positive and I didn't know I had it.
Where is the 72 hours from?
That is a time frame in which the governor has determined, along of course with Dr. Zink and the medical staff.
And that, okay. So
yeah. I mean why is it 48?
Yeah, you're
why
not,
is it 48 and not 96?
Yeah, and I mean, it's a 2 week quarantine, and so
the 2 week quarantine, and people, by the way, if they don't take the test before arriving and they don't refuse to take the test upon arrival, then we ask them to self isolate. And so the thing that you're going to have, Lori, is if you're going to travel for vacation in the teeth of a national pandemic, you are going to be, as I worked in the airline industry for 14 years, you're going to be exceptionally motivated to make sure the thousands of dollars you spend doesn't go up in smoke because you're ill. The price acts as a regulator to how involved and motivated you are to participate in the testing and public health care process.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, I think everyone has a vision of who's coming and who's going, but then you say, well, maybe these people are someone who needs to travel because a loved one died and they have to get to a memorial. And then all of a sudden, they're not this evil person trying to contaminate everyone.
Sure.
We've
been informing the public for weeks now because there has been this belief that we're going to have thousands of out-of-state tourism workers come to Alaska. And the brutal reality is we're not. Not only are we not having people come to Alaska to work, the cruise industry and tourism industry has laid off thousands of Alaskans because there will not be a standard tourism season. And that should hit people listening to this in the gut. The fear that these out-of-towners or out-of-staters are coming here to take our jobs, no, there are no jobs, period.
Yeah, so there is interest in getting people here for, you know, all kinds of different reasons. Economy is a big one for the tourism and prospects for that and for things opening up at this point, you know, long term are still quite unsettled. And I think, you know, extending, you know, I thought we were going in a direction, but I think now Friday's a big day to kind of see the direction. And I know Dunleavy in his press conference said, you know, we had cases, but we're still moving forward.
Sure.
Opening up.
So I guess the question, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. So if we go from 27 positives or 28 positives yesterday to 8, and we had 4 before we had the 27, and 13 before we had the 4, and 0, 2, 3, 5, 2, 0, 3, 6. What are the real numbers? And you are going to have these anomalies. We are going to have an uptick in cases as people, after several months, and here's the truth. We can tell people only for so long, stay in your home, stay away from each other. Once they decide that they have personally had enough for financial, mental, or physical well-being, they're going to go out. We've never put cops in people's homes or the National Guard on street corners. And when people have called upon us to do that, I think that is a very, very challenging step to take. Because over the past 4 to 5 days, we've seen police officers and the National Guard on street corners for a very different situation. And those images do not provide comfort to Alaskans or Americans.
Yeah, and not to deviate too much, but the governor's office had to breathe a sigh of relief that largely demonstrations in the state of Alaska were peaceful.
Oh, because people live here. And they're smart. They don't want to destroy their own stuff. We don't have flights of people coming in from the lower 48, organized antagonists wanting to destroy Alaska businesses. They don't come up here.
We've already got that going on.
Yeah. The economic impact is doing a number. And let me just be absolutely clear with the numbers. The people of Alaska have the fate of small businesses in their hands, their well-washed hands, and their masked faces. We can only, as government, do so much to protect small businesses. If you really, really care about that deli, that mom and pop, that whatever in your community, then you better by gum make sure that you do everything you can from a personal health standpoint to make sure that that business can stay open. Because these businesses across the state are hanging by a thread, with grants, without grants, with reopening, without reopening. And I can't be any more clear than this. If you want to protect small businesses in the state of Alaska, that responsibility lies solely in the hands of Alaskans. There's nothing government can do.
It really does, because I think the helpfulness of the payroll protection has you know, we've gone past that point, and that just helped with payroll. But most of those others, they're called grants, but they're loans, and they need to be paid back. So that puts even more you know, folks who owed money on a business.
Well, some of them are forgivable money. Grants, and some of them are loans. You're right. But, the bottom line is you don't go into business to get a check from government to cover you because government closed you.
No, and let's go there. I understand that we talked about this before, the CARES Act. The federal government has given money to the state to pass through to business, and so that's going to individual municipalities. And I've heard from several different people that Anchorage is doing a lot for their businesses. And I'm curious, what is it? I don't know if you're familiar with what they're doing.
I think Mayor Berkowitz and other leadership across the state, to their credit, are looking very aggressively as to what their responsibility is in their local communities to help business. I've told everyone that I've spoken to across the state, yes, the state has a grant program, and ooh, isn't $290 million, that's eye-catching. But that is going to be diffused across the state and numerous communities. Local government, local business development, and local leadership are far better equipped to make a targeted approach of a grant program, et cetera, to help preserve what remains of their business infrastructure.
Do you have any details of what Anchorage is doing?
No,
I'm just curious.
I honestly don't, and it's so weird. I mean, for 9 years on my old radio show, I'd paid attention almost exclusively to what was going on at City Hall, and now it's sort of in the background with my new job.
Yeah. Anyways, I'm just curious. So if anyone has information that's listening out there, I'd be curious what they're doing, because I know we have a committee formed here, but I've heard from several different business folks and community members in Anchorage that the business support has been really good. So I guess hats off there, and let's look at what they're doing. Also, the press conferences this week, what are the high topics, and any idea on dates for those?
Well, here's the fun thing. We probably won't know until noon or 1 today, or even a little later. We have to get the numbers from our state epidemiology team. We talked a lot about business infrastructure last week during last week's town hall. And the thing is, there just becomes a point mentally where a nightly press conference that people aren't used to having and then become used to having, and then we tell folks you need to get on with your lives and be smart. We got to give people the space to breathe and do what we're asking them to do. And before I dash off to my obligatory government COVID response meeting, which would make your eyes water from the length and content, it is important that Alaskans understand one thing. Every part of this recovery lies in their hands. They are completely and wholly empowered. We have testing. We have contact tracing. We have best practices. We have infrastructure, PPEs. We've got people across the state, church groups, etc., making masks. Now it's up to folks listening and your neighbors and friends to work with us on these mandates and keep things close to the vest and do the best that we can to beat this together.
So what is the charge, when you go into these meetings and you talk to different people from all around the state? You know, originally there were a lot of different things to focus on. So, and I know we've called it like it's messaging. This is the messaging that we're trying to get out from these different groups around the state. So what is that now? What does that look like in this next week? What are the important things that government feels they need to get out to the public?
It hasn't changed. The game plan has not changed at all. Social distancing. If you're feeling sick, stay home. Wash your hands. You're wearing a mask in public, not to protect yourself, but protect people around you. Due to the level of asymptomatic cases that the nation has experienced, I know people get hung up on what Dr. Fauci said in March. Well, guess what? Everything that we knew on March 2nd is different than what we know on June 1st. People need to get over what somebody said 90 days ago in a rapidly evolving pandemic. The core things remain the same. The same practices that prevent people from getting the flu, the same practices that your mom told you growing up, don't cough in your hands, cough in your elbow, go wash your hands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the things that exist today.
Yeah, we took a little roundabout way to get there, but it seems like it's been fairly steady the last couple weeks with the things that from the government anyway, that it's been pared down to. So that's been nice to have that solid direction. All right, well, we will let you get to your meeting and hear what happens moving forward Friday. I would anticipate a press conference on that day, since that is the interstate travel.
Oh yeah, I would imagine so. I will be out of the office on Friday. I am getting off the grid for a few days.
Ah, well, enjoy and
I will be out in the middle of nowhere, reconnecting with four wheeling and just being away from the trappings of technology. Lori, I will chat with you next Monday. Have a good week.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.